Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. And this podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's James and Wiggy with Fitzy.
Bill has completed his training camp opening press conference.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about player contracts.
A moment to reflect on just how long you've been here.
Yeah, I haven't spent a lot of time on that, though.
I mean, nobody likes training camp.
I don't think I'm following you, Tom.
It's back to football.
So there have been four different first basemen now in the last 15 minutes.
That game's under protest right now.
The Red Sox are playing under protest.
This is my fight song.
The designated hitter is a designated hitter for a pitcher, right?
He's right.
When they brought Rowe in...
What now?
They tried to move Kolarik, who the DH is hitting for.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
It was unforgivable that 20 minutes went by with one pitch.
He throws three pitches in the time it takes David Price to throw one.
The new guy that comes into the game goes in for the guy that leaves.
Yeah, he's right.
And
nobody understands what's going on, right?
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, I always feel dumber every time I watch a baseball game. Good morning, everyone. It is Fitzy, Wiggy, Jermaine Wiggins, Mark with the C. James here with you. A beautiful Thursday, and which ended up being sort of an ugly late Wednesday afternoon, as you heard in the intro there. Well done by John Anderson. Just, it's the Michael Corleone line from Godfather. Just when we think we're out, they pull us back in. Baseball continues to show why they are analog in a digital world. They are an 8-track tape in sort of a Spotify Pandora world. And they showed it again yesterday when...
8-track. Some people going, what the hell is 8-track?
Yeah, what's an 8-track?
8-track. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Baseball is a stack of freshly pressed wax, friend.
That's pretty much
maybe
it.
Maybe more like CDs, they might get that.
Well, okay, so when I saw the...
But analog, yeah, tape, yeah.
Analog. Yeah. When I saw the thing that in the Red Sox-Rays game, so at that particular moment, for 23 minutes, I actually wasn't watching it, but I saw like one pitch in 23 minutes, and I thought... Awesome! David Price broke his record! David Price broke his record! He did one pitch in 23 minutes ago. The only thing that was missing was Zach on the broadcast because it was Carlos Pena. And then I realized the game was filed under protest.
23-minute delay over switches, crafty management.
I didn't even know that was
playing under
illegal.
Screw you guys. I'm going home. I'm going to take my ball and go home.
I mean, I thought it was like baseball. You could just be like, all right, you know what? You go to center field right now. You go to left field. I didn't know it was all. It was just this. You had to write names down and all types of crazy.
And on a day.
The Red Sox are playing under protest.
Yeah. And on a day, like, didn't Mike Trout hit a 459-foot home run yesterday and also throw a 300-foot ball at 95 miles per hour from the outfield to get someone out at home? And baseball is all like, we're going to retweet this and make a forever gif because this is what's awesome about baseball. Yeah, you're whistling past the graveyard because they threw one pitch in the time I could watch an episode of Frasier.
Right. With no commercials. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have watched my show, which is on last night. It's a little longer than that. Snowfall, which is about the cocaine industry in L.A. in the early to mid-90s.
You love those drug shows, I know.
Love the drug shows.
You do. This is an interesting, this is like a low-key sub-storyline of this like fill-in morning show we're doing. Mark James, Mark with a C, and we know what the C stands for.
Right.
Cocaine.
No,
he continues to talk about
it.
He loves Narcos.
Right.
He loves Zopal.
Ozark.
Yeah, you are the Jason Bateman of Ozark. Of morning radio.
He went to school.
I love cocaine.
He went to school in Miami. He's always taking bathroom breaks.
Right.
He's like,
oh, right. You catch him between breaks and throw the football.
And he's like,
how you guys feel about
this? He's like, I don't even drink. You know? Listen, you're the one saying it, not us.
Yeah. All right. Well,
this little baby right here is called cocaine.
It's a hell of a drug.
Never touched it in my life, especially when I was in Miami. But it was that. just sort of was on display on when baseball, forget about not resonating with the millennials or Generation Z, the next generation they're calling, or Y or whatever. Forget about that. It's not resonating with your target demo. That is not good for business. One pitch, 23 minutes in a regular season game in July, that is bad for business.
If I am one of these younger demo baseball fans that they're trying to rope in for life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching this game on my phone, or I'm listening, you know, I'm streaming it at work. What the hell am I going to do? Like, I'm actually going to need to borrow somebody's recharger just so I can juice my phone up, because what are you doing? What's going on? Oh, they had a triple switcheroo in Tampa. They haven't thrown a pitch in 20 minutes. Are you literally just sitting there staring at the screen while a bunch of grown men argue the semantics of baseball? Yeah. But yeah, this is great.
But if you're a novice fan,
everyone's out. Everyone logs off.
And if you're a novice fan and you have no idea what's legal, what's, you know, illegal, and you're kind of trying to follow the game and watch this, that's more confusing than anything else. I know it's a 23-minute wait, but you're thinking, like, what the hell's going on here? Well, you can't do this. They're moving this guy here. They're moving that guy there.
Right. Okay, what was the last play in football, the most watched sport in America? What was the last play that came even remotely close
NFC title game,
this?
Nickell Robey Coleman.
No, wait a second.
That's close, too. In terms of delay, the play that the Patriots borrowed from Alabama that they ran twice against Baltimore,
yes.
Where the Shane Vereen was the ineligible offensive lineman who split right.
Right.
They borrowed that from Alabama in the LSU game in 2013. And remember, Harbaugh was freaking out. What did they do? Spend 5 minutes going over that? And, of course, it was intriguing. It was fascinating. What's Belichick doing? How are the Pats been in the rules again? Yesterday, everyone out. Done.
Nobody's ever seen that before.
Dunsky.
That's something that it just not. This is why baseball doesn't get it. And when you look at something like that, that was on display. That, I mean, that's right there. That's a wild card caliber game between two teams fighting for the second playoff spot in the American League, then the wild card. And to see that on display yesterday, when it had, like I said, I got in at the tail end. I just saw one pitch in 23 minutes. So I turned right over to Nesson. It was embarrassing.
I would say, like, what was the purpose of it? Because weren't the Rays just like, wasn't he just moving outfielders or he was moving positional players?
In the top of the eighth, there were some defensive changes by Kevin Cash. Adam Kolarik came in and apparently he shifted him from, pitcher to first base? Actually, let's get the baseball expert.
Right, like, Red Sox. Don't give us a pup's
play. No. Let's get Lou Maloney, who did his best job yesterday on OMF, to explain what happened.
So let me just explain it this way.
Yeah.
The designated hitter is a designated hitter for a pitcher, right?
Sure.
Kolarik's in the game. The DH Meadows is hitting for him. Okay?
No, the doctor's in.
So, no, I'm just saying.
What's wrong with me?
So, he's actually the DH on the mound. Meadows, he's hitting for the pitcher. When they brought Rowe in, they tried to move Kolarik, who the DH is hitting for, to first base so he could hit ninth. But you can't do that. You know, it's two guys were already in the game. The new guy that comes into the game goes in for the guy that leaves. Roe's the new guy that comes in. Choi's the guy that leaves. So Rowe comes in for Choi, batting ninth. Okay? But then Lowe comes in for him. However, it might. So the whole thing really got. It's almost like another layer to it. Because Rowe is technically in for Choi, batting ninth. Kolarik should be hitting third for the DH. So when Lowe comes in for Rowe, he stays in that ninth.
You realize
when Kolarik comes back.
Nobody understands what's going on, right?
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
I give Lou A for effort, but it's just really tough to try to explain what happened yesterday because it was just one of those convoluted episodes in showing why, like I said before, baseball is an analog sport or an analog, whatever you want to call it, in a digital world. It just doesn't resonate, and it showed it yesterday. And, I mean, you've got to be – I mean, this is a businessman's afternoon special, noon start –
you know, hey, let's get in. And 23 minutes and one pitch was thrown.
Fitzy, that sounded like that old, when Lou was explaining, what's that old comedian audio, like who's on first?
That's literally who's on first.
Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, this was Bud Abbott and Lou Costello coming out there. All right, so Polaric's on first, but who's on second? Right. Who's the DH?
Right.
All right, so Anderson's hit.
Right.
But who's it right? Right's and left.
You can't move,
but left
the
can't
DH,
be right.
But he was pitching, and the pitcher hits for the DH hits for the pitcher, but now they want to move him to first base.
Can we all just like spread the BS forest for the nonsensical baseball trees and just look at exactly why did Kevin Cash do this?
I don't know.
To achieve
what? What was the purpose?
To gain what?
Well, then who's playing first?
Yeah.
I mean, the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The fellow playing first base for St. Louis.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Well, what are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That was actually from that was Rob Manfred speaking to speaking to his rules czar yesterday.
So, to
what competitive advantage did Kevin Cash make all these maneuvers that flummoxed every single baseball wonk?
So you have all of these umpires and officials down there at the Trop in St. Pete, and then you have these fat asses back on Park Avenue in New York City, and these brainless, complete idiots could not come up with some sort of plausible...
Well, we just heard them talking. We had the audio of them talking to New York.
Couldn't come up with some sort of plausible solution that was going to be more expedient than 23 minutes. That, folks, if you want a microcosm, you want to encapsulate the sport of baseball in the 21st century, in the year 2019, that yesterday was everything that you could ever say about a sport. And even if you're the most staunch defender, at this point, you just throw your hands in the air and just be like, WTF.
Yeah.
WTF.
If I am Senor Sobriquet, MLB officially now stands for Major Lame Baseball.
For real.
Yeah.
For real. Come on.
Long Baseball, whatever. Yeah. I mean.
All right, so your cats are being thrown around.
You best watch out. The cats are coming. Thank you. Be here at least till 10.
Obviously, the umpires don't either.
Cora's getting more and more agitated here.
Wow, you could hear all 187 fans in attendance yesterday at the Trop. That's the most noise they made. God, what? Baseball, like, you've got enough problems to begin with.
But
you have an attention span issue. You've got a generational attendance issue.
You have an attendance issue?
Yes. Now you're going to tell me that people are going to want, like, oh, no, this is great because the devil's in the details. And this is when baseball gets down to its nittiest and grittiest. No, this is. I was laughing.
Right, and you just asked the question. What was the purpose behind it? Now, I didn't see it actually happen on the broadcast.
Oh, because you have a life.
Right. You can actually watch the whole baseball game and the highlights in the 6 minutes that they put it on.
After
the game.
Right.
But the thing I would ask is during that time of watching the game, does the broadcast? Because you asked the question. What was the purpose of
it? What competitive advantage were all these maneuvers made?
So broadcasters, whether you're listening on the radio or you're watching on television, are they saying to you, like, what is the purpose of them doing this? Or is everybody just, like, asking the same question? Why is he doing it?
I don't think anyone knew. Now, who started all of the... I think Tony La Russa, by and large, is credited with being the one who kind of changed baseball in so much as you would bring in a lot of situational relievers, right, Mark? And he would, like, bring in a lefty just for one batter.
He was the triple switch guy.
He was Mr. Triple Switch, right?
But don't you get that because that's pitching to batters, right? Lefty to lefty, righty to righty.
Didn't somebody actually, like, someone pitched and then went to first or played right and then came back in to pitch? I think that's
the way Lou made it seem is that whoever with the DH.
Adam Kolarik replaced Charlie Morton.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kolarik retired Sam Travis on a pop fly. Then Kolarik shifted to first base.
So he shifted from where to first base?
From pitcher to first base.
And then Cash brought in reliever Chaz Rowe.
The new guy that comes into the game.
Who got Mookie to fly out. Kolarik then returned to the mound from first base to the mound, and then Nate Lowe entered to play first base when that Cora was like, WTF is going on here.
Right,
you
so
can't do that.
So it almost seemed like he
wasn't allowed to pitch, and then like once you pitch, that's it.
Pitch, first base. Now, out so it almost, every right to protest it.
So it
every
almost right. seemed like the Rays manager wanted that pitcher to go back to pitching, but he didn't want him to pitch against this certain batter. That's why he moved him to first base. Is that how they explain it?
Nobody understands what's going on, right?
You're right, Christian.
Yeah. No, I get it. Tampa is budget strapped. Tampa is a competitive advantage strap. So you have to do everything where they start relievers and they'll run out seven pitchers before you've even considered pulling Price or Porcello or Erod. I get it. But like this now at this point, like this isn't even just showing off. This is overthinking something that should be as simple as you throw the ball, you get me out. Right. And then if you don't like this guy, bring in another one.
This is like youth sports when you only have like one or two good athletes and you're like, okay, all right, you play quarterback now. And then we're going to run safe. The ball. Yeah. And then you know what? We're going to run a toss. So I want you to go to running back.
Right.
Scribini, you go to quarterback and toss it to him.
Yeah. And then after we score, you're going to kick off.
Right, you're going to kick off.
You're going to break the wedge, and then you're going to play safety.
Right. And now I want you to move to nose guard.
And that's fine for an 11-year-old.
Right.
But for God's sakes.
He's a grown man here.
What are you supposed to do? What if I'm going to sit down the 6-year-old and be like, all right, son, this is why your father's always been watching baseball. Now sit down and enjoy America's pastime. All right, Dad, is it just guys that are just going to stand around with their hands on their hips and talk?
No action.
No, there'll be guys coming in. They'll move this guy from pitcher to first base. Why'd they do that?
Wait till you see this compelling. Now the grown men, son, are going to argue with each other for a while, and we can't hear what they say because the guy went from the mound to first and back over. Isn't this fascinating?
This is pretty cool. Now they're going to call the people in New York.
Now everybody.
now the man wearing the dark shirt with the chest plate is going to call the people back in New York City.
Now everybody, when you look at this whole thing, everybody wants to know. Like all sports try to make some sort of revision every year. NFL has now, where before coaches couldn't challenge a non-PI call, they can do that now because of the NFC title game and the egregious omitted pass interference call in the Kel Roby Coleman. So every sport is constantly evolving and going through sort of type of revisions. NBA did it a couple years ago. When an offensive team gets a rebound, the shot clock, instead of starting over at 24,
goes to 14.
14.
Yes.
Right?
Logical pace of play moves, dude.
Right. Baseball is the only sport I know that you are talking about. Like, it needs a Jerry Jones type facelift to try to make this thing watchable. It is just, and think about this stuff, guys. There's 162 of these effing games. 162. I mean, like, it is what it is. It just doesn't, and yesterday was just an example, was case in point on why it's just not resonating in modern day society. And I don't know what they can ever do to make baseball cool. So, oh, by the way, here's another thing. The Red Sox lost, so they had a chance to sweep. So they only ended up picking up one game out of the series because they ended up taking 2 out of 3 instead of sweeping. So there's that too. That sort of get, you know, thrown underneath it. But this was just utter. If you're a diehard baseball fan, and you liked that yesterday, and you thought
there's no way you liked that.
If there was some way that you can defend that, there's a scientific word for you. It's called loser.
Is that a scientific word?
It's a scientific word.
Yes.
It's called loser.
Well, you know this. You know this.
Thank you. I'll be here all week. Try the veal, John.
You know there's a problem, right? You know there's a problem in sports when the manager or the coach has to come out, get with the umpire official, explain to him, then he has to then write something down, and then the umpire has to write something, and the manager has to write. You don't see this in other sports, right? It's substitutions are made. In baseball, I think it's one of those sports where there's so many things you don't know about. Like
the new guy that comes into the game.
Right. It's like, why is it illegal to move one guy from pitching to first base and back to pitching? It should just be... Everything should be legal in baseball as far as like substitutions like they are in football.
Oh, I think baseball at this point now, I would go full purge anarchy rules in baseball. You want to use the bat as a weapon? Go ahead. But if you miss, you're out. You can beat. Yeah, you want to get people out? You can bee sting them.
But in like,
drugs allow.
But in like football,
I'm telling you, no. Or they just make 1 month where everything's legal, but just to make everyone excited. But like, hey, July is purge month in baseball. Everything's legal. Let's go.
In football, if you want to put a lineman, a tight end, guess what? All you got to do is put him there, and all he has to do is tell the referee, "I'm eligible on this play."
Right.
Very simple. You know, you want to put a defensive lineman and fullback, you're good. But it's like you can't move a guy from pitcher to first base back to pitcher.
They just, as we sit here in the studio, SportsCenter on ESPN, as my dad's friend Phil used to call it, the Extremely Sick Persons Network, was just running a replay of the inning.
Mm-hmm.
And there were all these players both leaning on the dugout rails,
like,
with their head in their hands going like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
Like, and they put the rule, Major League Baseball, rule 5:12-8-A. Once a club moves a pitcher from pitcher to DH, the said team will not be able to, the designated hitter role is eliminated for the rest of the game. Okay, so Kolarik, I guess, would have to hit, or the pitcher would have to hit the rest of the game? Oh, God, I get it, Tampa. You need everything you can do just to try to squeak out a win with your $53 million payroll versus the $240 million behemoths and goliaths that are the Red Sox and the Yankees. But this is killing the game.
Well,
it's cute that you run out five relievers to pitch two innings every now and again. That's revolutionary, groundbreaking. Oh, Joe Madden's drinking Merlot someplace thinking about this. But that's a soul crusher.
Yeah, that was a big, not only for the Red Sox, that's a big loss for baseball.
I don't blame these fans. They're booing. They should be.
Yeah.
But how many people you really think were watching?
At the time
I was
not.
Know why? I bet they could literally watch the streams at MLB.com just go like the guy in that game on The Price is Right up the hill and then
Yeah, that's it.
Stay hot, Uncle Manfred.
John in a truck, what was your thoughts on yesterday's debacle? Go ahead, John.
It was quite confusing, but what solves the problem, if you have a flex player, this flex player can come in and out of the game. The home team does not have to know who the flex player is, but the away team has to have to reveal it as to that's on their lineup card. This player can come in and out. It can be any player. It can't be the DH. Then both leagues would have the DH, and you get rid of that stupid issue altogether. And it makes the game a little bit more interesting. Baseball is the only sport where a player, if they're taken out of the game, they can't go back in, which is really stupid. But that would make the game longer. So if you just have one player who's the flex player.
Interesting.
It makes the game a little bit more intriguing.
Interesting.
And it make Manfred look more like, he's like interested in fixing the problem.
It's funny. You guys talk about my love for, drug shows like Narcos and Ozark and whatnot. I don't know if you could bring in the modern day version of Pablo Escobar, hookers and cocaine, to make baseball any more interesting.
Say that one more time.
I really don't. At this juncture, I don't know what you can do. Forget about dying a slow death. That yesterday epitomized everything that's wrong about baseball.
Well, and isn't that happening in St. Petersburg? Down in Retirementsville, USA, the perfect place.
Yeah, the blue hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like early
baseball,
bird special.
Baseball is not in hospice. Baseball is just, right now in the
old folks' home.
Baseball is now in the take your time over breakfast reading the newspaper.
Early bird special.
Yeah, go play pickleball in the afternoon with your friends and then have dinner at 4:30 phase
you
of its
old
life.
Bastard.
It's 6 a.m. and there's four of us around sitting at a table in the McDonald's lobby.
Baseball is concerned about how much fiber it's consuming. Baseball wants those kids across the street to turn down the radio because they're making so much racket. Baseball thinks the grandkids should come by more often at this point. I get it. That's fine. A flex player, perfectly good idea for baseball. 10 years ago, would have thought that was an excellent idea, would have changed the game. At this point now, we're talking bandages on a severed leg.
Yeah, it really is. That's what it is. I mean, there's no way.
It's not you can do.
And here's the thing about it. Guys, look what's going on right now, especially here in New England and throughout this country. NFL training camps are open. And things are starting to, people now are caring more about their football team because everybody's undefeated at this juncture. Well, and everybody's looking at, hey, how about, we know here in New England, obviously the storylines are endless, but how about in Denver? You got Joe Flacco, right?
You have him out there. Oh, he's trying to revive his career in Denver. And then you got the guy that they drafted, Drew Locke, out of Missouri. Mm-hmm. Then in Arizona, you got Kyler Murray, the number one overall pick. You have storylines.
Well, think about this. You will have more people watching the first preseason game in the NFL than they will be watching, important regular season baseball games.
Wiggy. Did you know, and you still know this, on ESPN, and this is something that for whatever reason, Ken Laird just could not really consume when we mentioned this. The four highest rated baseball games on ESPN this year were College World Series final between Michigan and Vanderbilt were 1, 3, and 4. The second highest rated broadcast was Red Sox-Yankees back on June 6th or whatever. College World Series final, game 3 between Michigan and Vanderbilt, outrated every single game on May, including Jessica Mendoza and A-Rod from Fenway Park on the Green Monster.
Right.
They outrate. It doesn't work. It's not working. It's broken.
Your Pokemon collection. Can we get into that?
And can I just say this? You brought up the fact that, like, eyeballs are turning, attention spans are switching over to football. The day, as we've been warning baseball in a lot of ways, not that they're listening.
No.
I mean, it's too bad because, you know, this is 4 hours of powerful radio right here.
They should be listening.
They should be. This is groundbreaking Marconi-winning stuff right here, folks.
Figgy, Witsy, and James.
That's right. The old Figwitz and James, bartender. The day before Pat's camp opens, this is literally the worst thing that can happen to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
A frustrating divisional loss. David Price doing okay. I mean, it was a quality start. All right. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, one pitch, 23 minutes.
Yeah.
All attention now completely goes to, like, I wonder if Stidham's going to beat out Etling.
Hey, Braxton Berrios got a chance to do something with 3 weeks with Etling.
Will Demaryius Thomas end up on the pup? How excellent is this tackle? Jawan Williams? Right. Yes, who's going to be the left tackle?
Right.
Far more compelling to me than was Polar Vortex allowed to pull the old
pitch at a first
mound
base
to first switcheroo.
I mean, you know, here's the thing too. Can I just ask you
the old hidden ball trick?
Hey, baseball trade deadline. There's only one this year. Is a week from yesterday at 4 o'clock on the 31st of July.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like. Other than the mild rumors that the Red Sox could be pursuing Ken Giles or Kirby Yates or maybe Marcus Stroman from Toronto. Does anyone do you feel it like being something that's moving the needle right now?
Would you trade for Manny Machado?
LJ,
for Manny Avocado?
Hey, what about Kawhi Leonard? What about Cowie Leonard?
I told you the best way to watch.
I heard Cowie Leonard loves Courvoisier.
He does love Leonard.
Cowie Leonard. How about the New Orleans Penguins?
We're not playing LJ drops.
Yes,
that's
how you want LJ.
More interesting than talking Red Sox Rays.
Hey, I'd rather listen to a montage of LJ's hiccups than that crap for 23 minutes yesterday. Okay?
Or your sober cats too. We got it's a great montage of. Yes. Mock with a C sober catch.
Did you like Leo and I had the other? You weren't here the other day, Fitzy.
Which one was that?
These are going to be like late picks.
Fitzy, did you hear mine the other day? I called the NFL dictator, a.k.a. commissioner, Fidel Goodell.
Oh, like? Very good.
You like that one?
Very good. A dictator who does not care about the welfare of his people.
Goodell? That's right.
Goodell.
Yep. And it was organic. That's why he was said he was so good at it. He's got to be organic.
It's got to be organic. Wait, that freestyle. That was like you and
freestyle's not organic. Hey,
he's a studio musician. He can't go out and work the 8 Mile with me.
That's all right. No. You and me doing that was like Zion Williamson, R.J. Barrett going to the NBA draft combine. You didn't need to do it. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
You didn't need to do it.
It seems a little early.
For the opposite reason, though.
Seems a little early for the excuse factory to be open for business, but okay, all right.
I love how he goes, I'm strictly organic, but I can't freestyle. Well, isn't freestyle being organic?
Isn't that the whole idea?
But that wasn't free. That was more manufactured. And you guys are like Kemba Walker. I don't know. I call him Kemba Stalker. Like, what do you do? Like, come on.
Listen to that literally is better than what you came up
that
with.
Is, that's true. That literally is better. Thank you.
Right.
From the Chief Seats,
John Anderson.
It
doesn't make sense. That's the thing.
Like, it's entertainment.
I know. It's
again, this is more entertaining than one pitch, 23 minutes.
He does not want any freestyle because freestyle is not organic.
Ken Burns made a 9-part documentary called Baseball. He fell asleep yesterday watching the friggin' sixth inning of Sox Rays.
I've never won a damn thing in my career like Antoine Walker. Did you see they showed the media? I saw the tail end of it. They showed the media in the Tropicana Field press box. So they showed Brad Faux's show, Ian Brown, and all these guys. And you could
they
just
were asleep?
They were either sleeping or just like, what the hell is going on? They looked like they did not want
to
be there.
The best way to watch it is when I trying to find this thing. I Googled it, and all of a sudden, a 6-minute highlight came up on the Red Sox, and it basically showed almost every inning.
Yeah.
Bottom, top of the first, bottom. I was like, wow, this is the best way to watch baseball. I got everything in 6 minutes. Six minutes and 32 seconds.
It's the Cliff Notes version. All right. We will, coming up next, Bill Belichick had his first press conference of the season.
Uh-oh, football is back.
And by the way, he got very pissy with Ben Volen and
Trolling Volen.
And Mike Reese. We'll have that for you next. But first, it's time for trending.
A new era in morning drive. The Greg Hill Show. Launching this Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right. After an exhausting 23 minutes due to a inexplicable switch by Kevin Cash, the Red Sox ended up losing to the Rays 3-2. They played the game under protest. Umpire Angel Hernandez said that Kevin Cash never specified where pitcher Adam Kolarik would hit when moved to first base. WEI's own Rob Bradford said the belief from the Red Sox is that Hernandez never wrote anything down in the lineup card initially, with Kolarik's designation only appearing after it was disputed. The Red Sox open up a 4-game series against the Yankees tonight at Fenway. Catch all the action here with Joe Castiglione and Sean McDonough on the Shaws and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Pre-game begins at 6:10 and the game at 7:10. According to ESPN's Field Yates, Julian Edelman has been placed on the non-football injury list. Will not be on the field with the Pats to open up training camp today due to his reported thumb injury. It's not expected to be a huge issue, but he'll be out reportedly at least 3 weeks. And that's trending on WEI and WEEI.com.
93.7 FM, WEEI.
Every player report that you're expecting to report?
So pretty early, it's like 10 a.m., right?
So do you enjoy training camp, or do you find it grind?
I enjoy all parts of football season.
Do you expect to have a new contract an extension for Tom Brady before
the Lakers? Yeah, I'm not going to talk about player contracts.
Do you ever allow yourself a moment to reflect on just how long you've been here?
Yeah, I haven't spent a lot of time on that, then.
What does it mean to be in a place for 20 years?
I enjoyed here.
Say a win avoided the pub list. Do you expect them to be a full go at the beginning of training camp?
I don't know. We'll see how it all goes.
Two stretches this year with Detroit and Nashville. What type of benefit do you think that will be for them to be able to get those?
I think it'll help our team improve.
You've received any clarity from the league on Josh Gordon's situation?
Yeah, that'll be a league matter. We should talk to them about
it. So is there a distinct challenge or opportunity in meshing a number of new coaches and head coaches in different
spots? All right, Bill Belichick yesterday, he got off to a rousing start for 2019. A little Barry White music there. The Quiet Storm.
It is.
The Quiet Storm.
This is sexy to Pats fans' ears. Belichick coming out with press conference high heat. Mid-season form in late July.
He's ready.
Did you see him up on that stage yesterday?
Yeah.
Khaki shorts, white sneaks.
Oh, did you see the sweatshirt that was ripped?
Ripped down because he's giving those Nantucket vibes off.
Yeah.
The Linda Holiday effect that's taken place with this man is top shelf.
She's working him.
He's got some
working.
Wiggs, tell me if I'm wrong here. Was that a little drip we saw on stage yesterday?
Just a little bit.
A little drip.
It ain't for sale yet, but it's just a little bit.
It's the drip.
It ain't lit. just a little bit of drip. A slow drip. Nighttime, it's like you can just hear it. Like, what's that? No, it's a little bit of slow drip for Bill right now.
So I love the part. This was, to me, a unintentional sort of shot at Alex Cora. When they asked him, I think it was Ben Volen, do you give yourself a moment to reflect? And he said no. Where Alex Cora, after the Red Sox opening series of the year against Seattle, when they were struggling and they were blowing leads, he's like, last year. Well, everyone talks about this, but last year. He went right immediately to last year. Bill Belichick.
I haven't spent a lot of time on that, Ben.
Yeah. Six titles. No. This is a new year, new day.
That's the way it operates. I mean, we've seen it in regular season games. We're on to Cincinnati.
That's right.
You can't consume yourself what happened to you last week, last year, whether it was good or bad, because now he's in a new season. We enjoyed it in the offseason, but now we're focused on this year. We're not Super Bowl champs this year. That's what we're trying to accomplish.
Right, exactly. Now, clip number five, John, when he was asked about a new contract for his franchise quarterback, Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about player contracts or any other contracts for that matter.
So there's that. Now,
but didn't they know that? Like,
yeah,
no, but
you have to ask though.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I understand this
brings up the journalistic conundrum of going down to Foxborough. Like, you know, your job requires you to ask these questions, but you know what you're going to get, because all they're really doing in the end is giving us fodder for the radio. It's 6:39 and 25 seconds. Belichick sound bites where he's just stonewalling people. It's to me, there's such high entertainment value to this. I love it.
He's blocking. I'm not going to talk about player contracts or any other contracts.
The disdain is just so rich.
Isn't it nice? He was like Taco Fallout there against Duke in the NCAA tournament, blocking Zion shots.
Yeah, or like that the Geico commercial with Mutombo running around like,
not today.
Yes.
Belichick needs one of those commercials.
No, the one thing I thought, though, which was, you know, obviously the Brady thing, and it's an issue, but I don't think it will be an issue per next week or the week after. I don't think Brady's going to just make what he's supposed to. I think they're going to have to come up with, obviously, some sort of new deal prior to the end of preseason. I don't think Brady's going to go into the final year of his contract playing it out as a lame duck quarterback.
Well, you know what? I think, and you know, this kind of started to trickle out yesterday, and people started to talk about, you know, everybody's why isn't he got a new deal? And, you know, I don't know how much truth there is to this, but they're saying that the reason why he can't sign a new deal is because when he signed his other deal, which was August 7th last year or something like that, you got to take a full calendar.
That's right.
I know we talked about that a little bit
yesterday.
But people are like, oh, maybe there's ways around it. So I think after August 7th, if there's not a deal done,
then it becomes a situation.
Then it becomes even more like, whoa, wait a second.
Right.
You know, they should be able to get, why isn't a deal done yet? This, that, and the other. So, but ultimately, once the season starts, if he doesn't have a deal done, am I concerned? No, but then I think it has the potential to be a distraction, in the sense that Brady and Bill will always get that question during their, you know, post-game conferences or pre-game conferences.
Right, and Tom Brady has so many better things to do, like answering nonsensical questions from what Jerry Thornton calls the blue checkmark brigade about that cliff jump in Costa Rica and why he pulled that off and did he see the Today Show. He doesn't care.
Right.
He doesn't care. He could give 50 Foxboroughs less about it. A good time to get this deal done, though, if they're allowed to actually open contract negotiations after August 7, 2019, that window between game one, where we all expect Brady to play not at all in Detroit, and game two, when they go to LP or LG Field or whatever they call it in Nashville, that week right there, bang it out so that it's done. One less question, and we can start focusing
on because this is going to continue
positional battles.
To be everything. Brady contract. All right, we'll get to more of the Belichick stuff coming up. Mutt was back at night last night.
I heard a little bit. And, driving into Ness, and I heard just a little bit of it.
And Chris Curtis and Ken Laird had an announcement, and we will get to that and have some of Mutt at Night sound next right here on Fitzy, Wiggy, and James.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network. WEEI 93.7 FM.
I spent a couple of days in the aftermath of getting the call on vacation Friday.
In the sports book? In the race
book? No, not
Saratoga.
I have not been to Saratoga yet this year.
Wow.
This is one of the drawbacks. Okay. I spent a couple of days in the bottle. I will admit.
Ooh, wow.
I spent a couple of days.
I noticed you took my crown, my gift from Canada. Oh. I gave you the bottle. It was here, like, untouched, and then silently it disappeared.
Well, did you want me to leave it here for somebody else? It was a gift that you gave
me. No, I'm happy with it, but obviously with the good use.
How long did that last once it got home? Well, hopefully it got home.
Oh, that unopened. There's plenty of other things to get to fire through. I've become, this is sad to admit, but I've become one of these sparkling seltzer guys.
So Mutt was back last night, Mutt at night, because the Red Sox had an afternoon game yesterday, and it only took 23 minutes for one pitch. We talked about that, but Mike Muttnanski, I hadn't heard his voice in sort of a while.
It's back.
He was back. It sounded good. You know, Mutt at night kind of rolls off the tongue a little bit, Wiggy. It sounds good.
Yeah, he took some shots at you, though.
Well, he
man.
Did one shot.
Mutt at night, the man show.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had Ben Trolin Volin on yesterday, who agrees Brady's contract will get done.
Of course it will. Yeah. Mutt was doing this fake outrage thing again.
Mutt was saying that he believes that the Patriots are going to, this is leverage for them to not sign him through the whole year, and he plays as a lame duck quarterback.
Yeah, which is completely...
Right. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Is he going to be the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans next year and play with Vrabel? Come on.
Yeah, well, that's Mutt's team, Tennessee. Yeah, that's what he said. Mutt said Tennessee's the spot for Brady next year.
So he was back, and Ken Laird and Chris Curtis announced that they will be moving over to the Greg Hill Morning Show starting next Monday, July 29th, right here on WEI from 6 to 10 every morning. So they will be producing
very
that.
Very talented producers.
Very talented, yes. Not a lot of hair on
their head.
But they will definitely be part of that with Danielle and Greg Hill. So congrats to Ken and Chris. So on that, and but it was just weird to hear, you know, Mutt last night by himself. He was fired up. He went at it with a guy, Steve from Northboro. Do we have that, John? Do we have anything about? Because he was screaming. He's like, all you Patriot fanboys, understand, this is the biggest story in the city. And if you don't think that Tom Brady could possibly leave New England, then you're just a fanboy. Like, he was really going at it. Oh, yeah.
So he thinks Brady is potentially going to leave New
like
England.
he was going with Stephen Northboro. I wouldn't forget the call. It was just like it was like, man, Mutt was just starting to roll up the sleeves.
There's no way in
no way.
Well, one can understand a little change, you know, maybe a little on edge.
Yeah, he's
there's a couple things going on around here. Yeah.
No, I think Mutt does a great job,
let's not go overboard. But
no, I think he does a great job. He's funny, you know, he's willing to take shots at himself. I mean, we've kind of all been down this road before with Mutt. But I think to think that Brady would be in another uniform somewhere, that would never happen.
Over Robert and Jonathan Kraft's dead body, that would never happen.
Yeah.
It would never, ever. Tom Brady, like Kobe Bryant with the Lakers, like Larry Bird with the Celtics, Magic with the Lakers, Derek Jeter with the Yankees, he will only play in a Patriots uniform. That will be Robert Kraft.
Won't do the Michael Jordan.
No. Emmitt Smith, Willie Mays, it will not happen. Patrick Ewing in a Seattle Supersonics Orlando Magic uniform. Oh, my God.
Gross.
Akeem Olajuwon in a Toronto Raptors uniform. Do you remember that one?
Never.
That would never happen.
Michael Jordan on the Wizards.
That's it.
Unfortunately, that did happen.
That did happen.
Fitzy.
That happened.
Like, what the hell?
And it's a great reference for any time they make a sequel years later they didn't need to make, or somebody attempts an ill-fated comeback, you can just always call it, oh, that was the Michael Jordan on the Wizards phase of their career, or the Michael Jordan on the Wizards
decision.
He actually
played pretty well.
He wasn't bad at times.
He was an all-star.
He was.
You know, it just, it wasn't sort of the Michael that we... Michael Chicago.
The Wizards stunk.
No, it wasn't that. So here was the sort of angry Mutt last night. This was legitimate angry Mutt with Steve from Northboro.
Who cares at this point?
What do you mean? Who cares about what, Steve? Specifically, I said about a lot of things, but specifically,
who cares about what's going on with this team? I mean,
with the Patriots?
Who cares?
Steve, I've not been on the air for 2 weeks. The biggest story in Boston right now. There are three major columnists all writing about this tonight, Brady's contract.
It's a joke.
It's not, Steve, it's not a joke. Steve, a joke is that you don't see that there is a real chance Brady walks into free agency that didn't exist a year ago. No, okay,
stop right there, John. For 1 second, pause it right there. He could walk into free. I told you. And I'm like, dude, that's just fake outrage right there. That's complete fake. There's no way that's going to happen. Ever. And it went on. And then there was a caller who called in after Steve from Northboro. I forgot his name. He goes, I want to give Steve from Northboro an air high five for what he said to you. So the caller was doubling down with Steve Northboro after him, but it continued with Steve Northboro. Here's more of it.
Who cares? I can't come on the air and say who cares. I have to have an opinion or an answer for these things. You as a caller, a terrible caller, don't have to have an opinion on this.
Let me speak my mind a little bit for you. They are a collective group.
They have been that way since day one.
Why doesn't he have a contract, Steve?
Because they want to put the money into areas that may help him down the road if the salary cap...
If they don't sign him, who's the quarterback, Steve?
One.
So why is the deal not... Okay, all right, we agree. Steve, we agree. We agree.
Well, that's what I'm... Maybe there is something done. You're not in the back burner somewhere. Are you kidding me? This guy's
no,
not
I'm not kidding
anywhere.
You. Steve is really good, and a lot of callers are really good at who cares and are you kidding me?
Okay, can we all agree that there are times like, you know, like dad comes home and he's really like, he's on edge and you're like, hey, mom, why is dad so angry? Like, dad seems a little on edge. And it's like, well, your father didn't get that promotion. In fact, actually, they switched departments on him. He got a little bit of a demotion.
What was the guy in Office Space?
Right. He got Milton.
Milton. Like, he got
Mutt,
Milton.
Mutt was promised he could listen to his radio at a reasonable volume.
Right.
And he could use the red swing line stapler.
You know,
there's been a little lumberging going on around here.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's got every right. Stapler? He's got every. I was told I could listen to my radio at a reasonable, but that would be great.
I'll
blow the whole place up. Yeah,
I'm gonna need you to move.
He's got every reason to be pissed off. Yeah. In general. So I don't think
sort
that there's
a problem here.
I'm gonna need you to come in this weekend. Yeah.
I'm gonna need you to move your.
He's got every reason to be pissed or a little shocked or.
He got
he's still dealing with emotional aftershocks over all this stuff.
Yeah, but come on though, really?
But Brady's not walking.
No, no, my God, didn't we just say? You can't have a new. You can't renegotiate this until a calendar year after the last year.
Did you see the memo about this?
I understand.
Wait, this should be called WTPS because that's all we do is file reports here and move pieces around. Honest to God,
I understand.
Where do you work? I work at the Initech of radio.
TPS reports.
I understand. Mutt is like, okay, it is a story, right? But you know, because the one call is like, it's not a story. No, it is a story. I understand that. But to think like, all right, there's a real chance that Tom Brady is going to walk after free agency.
Never. We should play our game. What do we think he's going to get? How many years? And when will it get done? Not Brady to free agency.
Speaking of TB12, we've seen Chris Sims come out with his rankings. We've seen other different, but I will tell you, perhaps the most comprehensive one, Mike Sando, who just left ESPN, now with The Athletic. They do a tier breakdown of all the quarterbacks in the NFL. Tom Brady is ranked. We'll get to where he's ranked and why he's ranked where he's ranked from. I think Mike Sando actually does a pretty good job on this, Wiggy, and you probably agree with him. We'll get to that next. Fitzy, Wiggy, James.
Yeah, you apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS reports.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.